We love our healing services here at Nightlife because we always get to see the Lord do some fun things for some people. Maybe not all of you who have come tonight for healing will be healed, but a good number of you will be healed, and that's what makes for the fun. The Lord does miracles. That the Lord that we serve is a kind God. We at Nightlife are going through the series of the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus' most famous teaching. Tonight we are reading the text from Matthew chapter 5, which is in the back of your programs. Before I read the text, I was meditating on it this week, and it reminded me of a principle that I call life in relief. You know how sometimes you can see the truth about something when it is shown in contrast to something else? Some of you have heard me tell my story about the crocuses in Chicago. I lived in Chicago for 7 years, and Chicago is about 75% winter. As far as I can tell, the winter just drags on forever and ever and ever. I remember the first year I was there, it showed on my birthday in April, snowed on my birthday in April. The second year I was there, it snowed in June. It was just brutal to this California boy. So every spring, I got in the habit, when I was walking home from school, to look in the margins of the sidewalks to see the first crocuses. You guys know what crocuses are if you've lived in, like, you know, New England or the Midwest? Crocuses are little tiny flowers that push up through the snow. They're always the first flower in spring. And so I would look for those, like a promise of better things to come, when the crocuses would push up through the snow. Now look, it might still be three blizzards away, you know, before we saw the sun of summer, but something about seeing the crocuses push up through the snow defiantly, majestically, cheered me, and it also taught me more about the beauty of flowers than any summertime garden ever did, right? Because it was the beauty of the flower in relief, in contrast to just that ugly, gray Chicago snow. I understood flower. I felt for the first time when I would see a single crocus in a field of slush. You know, life in relief, life in contrast to something else. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has taught us, we're about halfway through it, Jesus has taught us in the Beatitudes that blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the spiritually inferior, blessed are the losers, blessed are the people that are ugly in the eyes of the world, blessed are the people that are suffering, is how he starts out his most famous sermon, by which he says, congratulations to you if you're having a really rough time in the world. That's how he starts his sermon, which doesn't sound entirely logical, but he makes these promises like, if you're having a tough time now, congratulations, because the kingdom of God has come and you're in a good position to receive all the goodness that it brings. That's sort of what he means. And then in the next section of the Sermon on the Mount, as Pastor Jim talked about a couple weeks ago when I was out of the country, after those very comforting words, he says, now, I just want to tell you, those of you who are feeling spiritually inferior, that I'm very serious about moral rules. I'm very serious about the law of God. So, you know, you've heard it said, do not murder. But I'm telling you, even if you think an evil thought in your heart against someone, you've murdered them. It's just as good as if you've murdered them. So Jesus raises the moral standards to a ridiculous height. Not only can't we kill anyone, but we can't even get angry at anyone. Right? So he's very serious about the rules. But it turns out that he's serious about the rules not because he demands that everyone keep the rules, but because he wants it to be very clear that no one can keep the rules. Right? It may be that you can go through life without killing anyone, but none of you can go through life without getting angry or frustrated at someone. Right? So nobody can keep the rules. We are all equally failures in that regard. And that's really what Jesus' teaching on the law is about. In tonight's text, Jesus teaches us about perfection. Specifically, he talks about perfect love, and he calls those of us interested in following him to be perfect, absolutely perfect. He calls us to be perfect as God is perfect, right? That's his commandment to you. But let's check this out. You have a version on the back of the programs that you were handed when you came in. It turned out, though, there was a printing mistake, and so it stops a couple verses short, and so the verses will be on the screen behind me. So I'm just going to read those. beginning in verse 43, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, which was sort of a saying of the day. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And tax collectors back in those days were like mafia bagmen. They were like really evil people. So even the mafiosos do the same thing. And if you greet only your brothers, only your friends, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans, not even unbelievers do that. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Love your enemies is Jesus' teaching on love. What's the nature of love? Well, we could talk about that some, but most of us would agree that there's a degree of unselfishness involved. Love is the thing that causes you to value someone else more than yourself, right? So if you really love someone, you'd be willing to sacrifice your life to save them, right? That's sort of the ultimate expression of love. Love is not about you, right? If you only love people that you can get something from, well, that's not love at all. The technical name for that is lust. It's desire without love, right? We're only affectionate, we're only fond of people that give us goodies. Love is you're willing to totally not think about yourself and just totally bless someone else. That's love. It's very self-sacrificing, right? We sort of agree on that. Just sort of nod your head complacently. Thank you. And he says, love your enemies, though, right? Love people who really aren't giving you any good thing at all, who are, in fact, giving you a lot of flack, who are treating you really poorly. Why should you love your enemies? Because it's good for you? Well, Jesus says, no, love your enemies because then you'll be the children of the Father in heaven, which is a nice poetic way of saying you love your enemies to be like God, because that's what God does. And you'll be like God is. God treats people the same. He treats evil people like good people. Right? He doesn't do this to reward evil. He does it because of love. Right? Because it's self-sacrificing. God is more interested in making it clear to us that he is loving and merciful than making it clear that we ought to be good boys and girls. And I'll say that one more time. God is more interested in making it clear that he is loving than making it clear that we ought to be good boys and girls. And if your understanding of relating to God is he wants you to be a good boy and a good girl, then you like totally miss Jesus' teaching. It might be someone else's teaching, but it's not Jesus' teaching. Right? With Jesus, sin is not the issue. Right? He makes it clear by raising the moral standard so high that none of us can make it. Right? So we're all sinful, so that takes that out of the game. Right? We're all messed up. It's not the issue with him. And if you've been taught that sin is the issue in Christianity, that keeping the rules is the issue in Christianity, okay, somebody else made that up. That's not Jesus' teaching. Jesus' teaching is quite different. Perfect love, loving perfectly as God loves, is loving people that are screw-ups, that do not deserve it, who are spiritually inferior, and who do not meet the moral standard. Right? And that's love in relief. Right? That's where it shows. The easiest way to show perfect love is to love someone who doesn't deserve it at all. Right? That's like the crocus in the snow. Like loving someone who deserves it not at all. Who's, in fact, mean to you. Right? If you can love that person, then you've been totally selfless. And that's how God loves. That's the point that Jesus is trying to make here. It's love in relief. It's love in contrast to what people actually deserve. That's actually the best way to love. It's interesting to me that right after Jesus teaches on keeping the rules, on morality, his discourse on moral law, he tells us, be perfect. Be perfect as your Father is perfect. Right after he teaches about rules, about keeping the rules, he says, okay, be perfect. But his teaching on being perfect has nothing to do with keeping the rules and everything to do with loving people who haven't kept the rules. He sort of inverts where you would think he would go. Jesus is not telling us to keep the rules perfectly, but rather telling us to love perfectly those who do not keep the rules well, who do not treat you very well. Well, what does this have to do with healing, this crazy kind of love, this loving people who don't like you and loving people who don't deserve it? What does this have to do with a healing service? Well, love in relief, love in contrast to things. Love in relief is a love that relieves. Maybe you've come tonight, you're sick. I don't know, maybe you feel like you're not right with God. Maybe you feel like you haven't done a very good job. Maybe you feel like you've made yourself sick, as we can do sometimes. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Because what you've done is maximize the potential for God to show selfless love to you, right? If you feel like you haven't given God anything lately, he's very excited to give you something. That's the inverted logic of the kingdom of God. That's how it works. And if any Christian teacher has taught you something different than that, then I apologize. We have discovered that Jesus is not very religious. He is illogical in religious terms. But God is very, very excited to give stuff to people who do not deserve it. Now, if you've come tonight for a miracle, for healing, and you feel like you deserve it, okay, then you're in trouble. Then we've got a problem. Right? Because if you feel like you deserve it, you feel like you've kept the rules very well, and you didn't hear Jesus' teaching. Right? Nobody keeps the rules very well. Nobody keeps the rules very well. And here's another thing. If God does a good thing for you tonight, if God does a miracle that you don't deserve, you'll probably be more excited to try to keep the rules in the future, knowing that he is an incredibly generous and loving God. My Nana, my great-grandmother, taught me the only lesson that really stuck about child rearing. She taught me when I was a kid this way. We had a cousin who treated her son rather shabbily and always criticized him and cut him down in front of people. And one afternoon after they had left the house, my great-grandmother, my Nana, said to me, "That is not how you raise a kid. You raise a kid, you praise him all the time, no matter what he does. You praise him to high heaven in front of people and never let him think that he's done a bad or embarrassing thing." Okay, now that's bad child rearing, according to all the books. But it made me love my Nana crazily. And I would do anything for her because I knew that her love was actually unconditional. And I'm trying to spoil my little girl rotten. God is trying to spoil you rotten. That's the only way that he'll get you to think less about the rules and more about him. Amen? Can we have the lights up in the house, Glenn? Can I have the prayer ministry team come forward, please?